Hello, everyone. This is Tom Regan. I'm a licensed addiction counselor for Heartview Foundation in Bismarck, also a certified grief counselor. And welcome to a program we call Recovery Chronicles. This is a program that celebrates recovery with a capital R, as I like to say. And our special guest today is Judge David Reich, and he's a judge for South Central District Court in this part of North Dakota, lives in Bismarck, North Dakota. In particular, in relation to recovery, Judge Reich started a group called RADD, R-A-D-D, Runners Against Destructive Decisions, and that's one of the main reasons why we want to speak to him. But welcome to the program, Judge Reich, and I'll call you David for...
Okay, sounds good. Thank you for having me today.
Yeah, you bet. And maybe to get started, what is RADD? And then the next question is going to be, why did you, because you're the creator, why did you start RADD? So,
well, RADD is an acronym for Runners Against Destructive Decisions. And I started RADD. I've been a judge for just about 12 years now, and the majority of our docket as district court judges consists of criminal cases, and the majority of the criminal cases we see involve people that use or abuse drugs and or alcohol. And it didn't take very long for me to see that I was seeing a lot of the people over and over again. And typically, people would commit crimes and be arrested. They come before the court and usually plead guilty or be found guilty. We'd sentence them, oftentimes put them on probation with the condition that they not drink, that they get a chemical dependency evaluation and put them on probation and send them back on their way. And then they go back into the same environment they were in when they got in trouble before. And it's a cycle that just would keep repeating itself. It shouldn't be surprising when they go back in the same environment we see them again. And so,
a revolving door.
It is really a revolving door. And so I decided I'd like to try to do something different. And it wasn't my idea. I'd started running about 10, 15 years ago when my daughter was in high school. And we saw a lot of the benefits of running. And I started getting running magazines and articles, and I started reading with great interest some articles about some programs that were tried both in the prison setting and in probation settings to get people a healthy lifestyle alternative, I guess, instead of simply sending them back in the same environment. A lot of times without ever knowing what a healthy environment looked like, these other places had tried running programs to get people to run or walk on a regular basis, to set a goal of completing a race of some type help train them to achieve that goal. And I thought, well, that's something that makes a lot of sense to me. And so we decided to do that.
Yeah. And I went back and read a couple of articles. This was started in April 2014, thereabouts?
Yeah. 2014, yes.
So we're coming up on the fourth anniversary of RADD already. And I should disclose, I participate in RADD, and I think I have since the very beginning, you know. And I know, and I've written about RADD in the past, too. And the way I put it sometimes is Judge Reich got tired of seeing the same old faces, you know, in his courtroom. And decided to, as you said, try to do something about the problem. And there's certainly been some success stories, correct?
There have been. You know, some people say, I'm just trying to reduce my workload by doing this. And if I do that, that's great. But, you know, running's not for everyone. But we tell people you don't have to run. Whatever speed or whatever condition you're in, if you do some type of physical activity on a regular basis and set a goal of completing a certain run, it's going to help you. If you have to get up early in the morning to run two or three times a week, you're not going to be up late doing whatever it is you do. You're going to get some sleep. Hopefully your diet will improve. Hopefully you'll meet a few better friends that get you out of your environment.
And maybe lose a few pounds along the way.
There are some health benefits associated with that. And one of the benefits that I've heard from a number of the participants, people who are in recovery in our program, is that it helps them relieve stress, and it helps them clear their mind and helps them kind of organize their thoughts and get them through the day. And I think that's a very important thing for them to have.
Yeah. I said to someone today, I'm addicted to exercise. As you know, I'm a person in long-term recovery, exercise is one of those really good addictions. I mean, you could overdo that too, but to a degree, but you know what I'm saying. I know if I don't exercise for, let's say, 2 days in a row or especially 3 days, boy, I can tell. I miss it. I've got to get back into the gym and do what it is I do.
I just want to thank you. I mean, you have a lot of our volunteers come and go through the years, and a lot of them are people who are in long-term recovery. A lot of the supporters of our program are people who are in long-term recovery. And you have been there basically from day one, and for the most part, when you're here, you're there, either to run or walk. And I think that's another important thing for our program is that we're there. Either I'm there or you're there, or somebody that has worked with our program, that's volunteered with our program, is there. So that when the people who want to participate show up, they have somebody there to assist them.
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel the fact that I'm also a counselor helps some people where they might feel comfortable telling them about some of their challenges of the day or of the week or might ask for some advice about therapy programming. And then and I also hear, and I know you do too, I've also heard a couple of times they used to appear before you in the courtroom, and now they're running with you, and they get a kick out of that, saying, look how much my life has changed. I am now running with judges. That says it in a nutshell.
I think that's another thing we hope to accomplish. We've had support of law enforcement, although we haven't actually gotten a lot of law enforcement people to put on their tennis shoes and running gear to come with us. But it's seeing people in a different light. In my job, I see people oftentimes in jail garb or prison garb. And here their cases involving drugs or alcohol. They're very different. I'm on the bench with a robe. They see attorneys in suits. They see law officers in their uniforms. When we run, we're all the same. It's a common ground for a lot of people. We all have our running shoes, our running clothes on. We're all in various shapes and abilities, we're all equals, basically. It's intimidating, I think, it's intimidating for anyone to come into a new program or a new exercise program. But I think it's really intimidating for a lot of the people in recovery to come in, not knowing what to expect and not knowing. I know I've had some people know that I'm a judge, that I'm involved, and some people that don't know. And some people are pretty surprised when they find that out, because I probably don't look like a judge when I'm there on Saturday mornings in my running gear. So.
Well, and I really like, and we should say, RAD meets Saturday mornings at 7 a.m., the east side of the YMCA, that east entrance, so to speak. But what I really appreciate is the fellowship that happens before we run, and maybe especially after we run, because you're kind enough to bring refreshments, including coffee and bagels or bananas, other things, and orange juice, etc. But the conversation that goes on before and after is fellowship. It's so enriching. A lot of teasing going on, and there are other counselors who participate but I think a lot of real healing and learning happens during that fellowship. In that way, I was thinking this morning, it's a lot like AA, or NA. That fellowship, the fellowship aspect of it, is so important.
Yeah, we don't pretend to be a formal counseling or therapy session or anything like that. But I do think the camaraderie that's built over a period of time is very important. I think people are very comfortable coming and talking basically about anything they want to talk about, or not talking about anything, just sit and enjoy the conversation if they want to, if they're comfortable enough to do that. And so
right.
So I do think that that part is probably as important, or maybe even more important than the exercise part of what we do.
Sure. Sure. And, you know, and we've had some success stories in other ways. I mean, I can think of a couple of, and we can't name names, of course, but a couple of RAD members who have completed races. I mean, they, you know, road races, even half marathons or marathons. I mean, you know, they've really come along on the continuum, on the running continuum. And that RAD as a group is willing to support them by, if they are not able to, by buying tennis shoes, running clothes, pay for the registrations for races, things like that.
Yeah, and that's part of what we do, is we want this to be a program that people are able to participate in. And so we want to remove barriers to participation. And one of those barriers, unfortunately, for a lot of people in recovery are financial barriers. And running is probably the least expensive sport you'll find to finance. But still, you need a good pair of shoes. And that's an obstacle for some people.
Yeah.
And
a good running shoe today is going to cost over $100.
It is, yep, probably. Yep. But I like to look at it this way. It costs about that much to house somebody in jail overnight or in the detention center.
Yeah.
And I think it's money much better spending $100 on a pair of running shoes than $100 to house someone overnight, that if we don't do something else, is probably going to be housed again in the future. And so that's a recurring cost. And I think we see a lot more benefits from getting people out running at 7 in the morning than we do from releasing them from the detention center at 7 in the morning.
And I've seen you personally serve as a coach, you know, because of your running experience. And I want to ask you about, you know, your personal running experience, but you've been there as a coach. I mean, coaching them on how to get started and et cetera.
I've been running for about 15 years. I'm 61, so I started a little later in life than most people. And I know we're on radio, but I probably don't look like a typical runner. I'm a little a bigger person probably than a runner. When I was in high school, I had a basketball coach that forced us to run, and I hated running. I was probably one of the worst runners in the state at that time. And so I didn't start running until my late 40s when my daughter was in high school and started running cross country and wanted a running partner. And it's one of the best things I ever did. I really enjoy it. It's something we could do together. We could see the benefits of it. You know, we both got healthier, felt stronger, built a companionship doing that. Picked races to do together and train together. It was a wonderful experience for us. And I thought that's something that we could use. If we could bring some of that experience to people in recovery, that they would benefit from that.
Yeah. Let's also talk a little bit about the Santa Run, because this is something sponsored by RAD.
It is. We've started RAD in April of 2014, and in December of 2014, we had our first Santa Run, and we've had we celebrated the fourth Santa Run in December of 2017. We use the Santa Run to raise awareness of addiction issues in our community. The Santa Run, everyone 13 and over runs in a Santa suit, so it's a very colorful event. The proceeds from the event are used to help our RAD program to pay for running shoes and race entry fees and some other associated costs with the running program. Hope Manor Sober Living Homes is our charity partner, and they help us provide a lot of volunteers for the Santa Run. And for doing that, we share the proceeds with them, and they're very appreciative of that. And so, the Santa Run's been a great event. It's kind of the image that we project of RAD. It's an event that's kind of unusual. One, because you're running in December and you're running in a Santa suit, which makes it unusual.
Yeah.
But it's an event that celebrates recovery, and a lot of people in our program haven't been in a lot of events where they can say they had fun doing things in recovery, or where they're recognized and complimented for the achievement of being in recovery, which is a huge achievement that I think a lot of people don't realize how hard it is, and that it's a day-to-day thing that people in recovery have to work on for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. No, absolutely. As I say, as a counselor in therapy, so often I say, now that you are in recovery, you are now on a lifelong program of self-improvement, and that's the, you know, and that's the way it has to be. I was going to ask you to talk about your background a little bit. I mean, where you're from and where you went to law school and such, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I don't mind. I grew up in a small town, Medina, about 70 miles east of Bismarck. It had about 500 people at that time. I don't think it has quite that many anymore. I went to both graduated from undergrad and law school from the University of North Dakota in Grand Forks. It's been a few years now. I graduated from law school in 1982. I clerked at the Supreme Court for a year. I worked for a private firm here in Bismarck, Pearson Durick, for over 22 years. Mm-hmm. And then now I've been a district court judge for about 12 mm-hmm. years. I'm mm-hmm. married to my wife, Anne, for 34 yeah. years. We have an adult daughter that has kind of been my inspiration for running.
You talk about your daughter a lot, and I admire that. And as a father of four myself, you know, I can appreciate that. What are the rewards of judgeship? Is that the right word?
That's a good word. You know, I think as a judge, you always have to be aware of the impact your decisions can have on people's lives. And, you know, we're a very busy court system here in the South Central Judicial District. Most of our cases are in Bismarck, Mandan. There have been articles in the paper recently to say that we're basically three judges short here. So you can tell we all have plenty on our plates. And I never want to go into court forgetting that there's an individual in front of me. A lot of times an individual who may not have been in court before, that this is a pretty intimidating experience for them. And so I always try to remember that when I'm in court and at least treat everyone in my court with respect. I may not agree with them, and even when I disagree with them, I try to respectfully disagree mm-hmm. Because they may not like the result, but I hope they appreciate that we're doing the best mm-hmm. we can.
Yeah, no. Yeah. And what's the most challenging thing about judgeship? Maybe it's seeing the same people over and over again.
Well, part of it's seeing the same thing over and over. And, you know, we're courts of general jurisdiction, so we see all kinds of both civil and criminal cases. You know, the people who really can't take care of themselves that are victims of crimes and offenses, children, crimes against children, you know, domestic abuse, child neglect, those types of things. Those are probably the hardest cases. You know, we're asked to make decisions on parenting rights and mm-hmm. and visitation and which parent we think sure. is going to be better to have.
That's Solomon type stuff, right?
It is. And, you know, we don't have a crystal ball. We have mm-hmm. to do the best we can with what we have. I sometimes tell people, you know, the judge has the least amount of information of the people in the courtroom. The two parties have the most information. They give some of it to their lawyers. Their lawyers give some of it to the judge. And then the judge ultimately has to make the decision. So I always urge people, particularly in family law matters, to say, you know, the best example you can set for your kids is to forget about your differences and try to remember that you have to make decisions in the best interest of your children. That's the best example you can set. You're going to be parents of these children for a lifetime, but you're going to have legal responsibility for making decisions until they become adults. And mm-hmm. so set a good example.
Sure. And I should say our guest today is Judge David Reich of South Central District Court and the creator, the founder of RAD, Runners Against Destructive Decisions, which is a running group, a runninger/walking group, designed primarily to attract people in recovery from substance abuse. Is that accurate? I mean, that's always been the primary audience.
That is
audience.
Accurate. You know, the both RAD and the Santa Run, our goal is to raise awareness of addiction issues in our community mm-hmm. and to provide a healthy lifestyle mm-hmm. alternative for people mm-hmm. in recovery. And so a lot of the people in our program come from from drug court. Some of them come from getting out of treatment programs. Some are coming from word of mouth now. BTC is bringing some people. Mm-hmm. And so Mm-hmm. You know, but it is basically targeted for people in recovery. No.
And their family members?
And their families. Anybody is welcome.
Yes. You know,
when I
yes.
started this program back in 2014, my initial mm-hmm. thought was that this would be a great program for juvenile court.
Right.
Because one of the primary goals of juvenile court is reunification of the juvenile with the family. And running or walking is something that just about everybody can do, and is something certainly that a family can do together. And if you have other people in your household that are exercising with you and hopefully maybe eating better with you, eating healthier, it's much easier if you have a built-in support group than if you're the lone ranger in your house trying to be healthy.
Sure. If you don't mind, and you brought it up, talk about adult drug court a little bit, and because we get a lot of referrals. I mean, RAD, I should say, gets a lot of referrals from, and don't they get credit for participating in RAD?
They do get credit because as part of the drug court, participants need to have certain hours of activities that they're engaged mm-hmm. in. And drug court has been around for probably about 15 years now in Burleigh County. It's in different lengths of time in different parts of the state. And it's a resource, fortunate that we're able to do. It's harder in the rural communities because they don't have the resources.
Right.
But drug court is really an alternative to incarceration. It's mm-hmm. a condition of probation for people who otherwise would go to jail or prison for drug or alcohol-related offenses. And drug court is kind of a hands-on probation. People in drug court are required to do certain events. There are different stages of drug court. It usually takes a year or 2 year and a half to get through drug court. It's a very demanding program. People in the drug court come in the initial stage every week to see the judge. On Friday, they come in as a group, and their cases are discussed. And later, it might be every other week or every third week, but they progress through the different stages of drug court. Hopefully, they progress through that. Sometimes, if they have a setback, they get sent back and have to work their way through again. But there's an addiction counselor and a probation officer involved. That there's a team that makes decisions, that staffs drug court and makes decisions on each of the participants. So they follow them very closely. That you know they're required to have employment or do community service mm-hmm. hours, so many a week. One of the things that RAD does, it gives people in drug court something they can get credit for. And
Hours. They earn hours of is it community service hours?
It's treated the same as community service hours.
Yeah.
And they can do the same thing with community service.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of our participants have come from drug court for the RAD program.
Right, and I think the folks at drug court do a good job of promoting RAD and referring their clients to RAD. As a counseling student earning my degree in addiction counseling, one of my assignments was to observe adult drug court, and it was a great assignment. I've also written and published stories about drug court, but is it open to the public, or do you need to call ahead of time?
usually it's family members that attend on Friday mornings.
Yeah.
You know, they have graduation ceremonies. They're pretty happy times when people get through.
Sure.
Judge Haggerty has been a drug court judge, I think, since its inception. Judge Haskell did it for a number of years. Judge Romanek's doing it now with Judge Haggerty. Judge Romanek was doing the juvenile drug court for a period of time, and Judge Grinsteiner is still doing that.
I've learned what a great program that is. I mean, what a great alternative that is, I wish people would go and observe it. But you know, maybe if they called ahead and asked, it would be okay.
it's very interesting, and you know the. Again, when I started this, I thought it would be a great program for juvenile court, and there's a juvenile drug court as well. And it was just a little easier to start the adult program. We went with juvenile court. We had, you know, we have great juvenile court personnel, but they were concerned with, you know, some of the juveniles need to be supervised when they participate, and some have confidentiality issues. I sat in on a meeting with the drug court officers and a group of very talented and dedicated runners from Team PCAN, Prevent right. Child Abuse North Dakota. They're some of the most talented runners probably in the history of North Dakota. And they had started a group for troubled youth, a running group for troubled youth called Team Kaizen.
Right.
And I knew a couple of the runners, the PCAN runners, pretty well. And I thought, I was complimenting on what a wonderful idea that was. And they said, it's a great idea, but we're having some trouble getting people into our program. And I said, well, that's interesting. I think I can find people from juvenile court to help you with the program if we can just get the two of you together.
Yeah.
And so they had a meeting over lunch in my office and were able to work it out. And I think it's been a really good thing for both parties.
Yeah, sure. Well, the mission of this program, Recovery Chronicles, and by the way, our guest is Judge David Reich, the mission of this program is twofold. Number one, to create awareness about substance abuse in our community. And number two, to create hope, you know, for people who know that they have a problem, to hopefully listen. Hopefully listening to this program, they can get some ideas. And ordinarily, we interview people who are in long-term recovery. But what would you want the average person to know about the extent of substance abuse in our community as a problem, as an issue?
Well, substance abuse, particularly with the opioid crisis, has gotten a lot more publicity recently. And unfortunately, that's all true what you hear. And unfortunately, also, there are a lot of things you don't hear. When I started as a judge, methamphetamine seemed to be the biggest problem that we were reading about and hearing about and seeing in the courts.
And that hasn't gone away.
It hasn't gone away. It's changed. The legislature enacted some laws that made it more difficult for the mom-and-pop meth labs to exist. And a lot of those went away. And that's good. Unfortunately, now meth is coming in from other sources. And so we're still, I don't have any data in front of me, but I don't think we're seeing any drop in the number of methamphetamine cases. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we have seen a rise in the number of heroin cases.
Yes.
And that's linked to the opioid crisis because
certainly.
People get addicted on opioids. Eventually, they find out that heroin is now cheaper than opioids and turn to heroin. And unfortunately, what happens either from the heroin or heroin laced with fentanyl, it can be fatal. And so we're seeing some very tragic consequences now from the opioid and addiction crisis in our state.
Yeah. Well, I told you the half hour would go quickly, and we're almost at the end of it. So why don't we extend an invitation for people to participate in RAD or refer their loved ones to RAD?
I would love to do that. You can contact me. The best way to find information, the Sander Run's kind of our logo. And so if you go to the Bismarck Sander Run website, if you just Google Bismarck Sander Run, it'll come up, or it's www.bismarcksanderrun.com. And it has information both on RAD and the Sander Run. And it has my contact information if you go to the contact information. If you don't want to do that and you just want to show up and see what we're about, come on Saturday morning, that's 7 o'clock, the East Lobby of the Y. We run from the Y. The Y has been a wonderful partner for us in this endeavor. They allow us to meet there and have lunch there and talk, or have continental breakfast there and talk. We meet at the Y from Labor Day through April, and we do that because that way we have a safe place to meet that's indoor, out of the cold, and has some lighting. From May 1 through Labor Day, we meet at Shelter 7 at Sertoma Park.
Okay. Judge David Reich has been our guest. Thank you so much. And we close with the Serenity Prayer. And that is, if you want to pray it with me, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Good day.
Thank you.
I sing the song because I love the man. I know that some of you don't understand. To keep from running out. I've seen the needle and the damage done. A little part of it in everyone, but every junkie's like a setting sun.